Dr. Vic, you have a, how do I say this? You have an unusual way about you, which is global but yet close to home. And I love how much you love New Hampshire. I love the fact that you settled into Lincoln and love the community. It's a great place. I mean, as they say, what's not to like? You get the four seasons, although the spring maybe not the you're in the season right now with the mud. But do you sense what, again, not just Lincoln, but what is it about New Hampshire? And, J-Dog, do you mind sharing with Dr. Vic? I don't know if he's listening. We had a young woman call into the show Friday from the Ukraine. And the city, she and her husband, her name is Miwa.
Yep.
Very articulate, very strong, incredible young woman. That she just got married. And the city that they were in, even though it was pretty far away from Kyiv, had been shelled four times with rockets. And she and her husband said, look, we had dreams here. It's our home. They knew they had to go because they could get out into Warsaw and Poland. Eventually, they're staying with a family here in Bedford, New Hampshire. And her grasp on this state in the short time she's been here blew me away on Friday when she was on, because we take for granted a lot in this country, in this state. And you move from Massachusetts, but when you look at California, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and some of these very over-regulated and taxed states, in my opinion, and all the rules and restrictions, live free or die means a little bit.
Yeah.
And have a listen to what Mila said when I asked her, what do you say to someone who think their bad day is misplacing a credit card or inflation stinks, it's an unfair tax, especially if you're on a fixed budget, or you just have an argument with a friend and you think you're having a bad day? What do you say to them after you had to flee your country from a war? What do you say? Let's have a listen.
I really love the New Hampshire motto, right? Live free or die, because that became the motto of our life, right? So what we want most is freedom.
And if we have a little more of that, maybe she's a very inspirational.
Sure.
Go ahead, J-Doc. There's someone here that maybe a bad day is something that's not so bad, or they don't really appreciate their freedoms, or how do you say to someone that everything you've had has been attacked and your country was invaded and you're here and you're no longer at home where you want to be? How do you relay something like that to someone who can't relate?
Oh, very good question. I wish a good answer, right? I really love the New Hampshire motto, right? Live free or die, because that became the motto of our life, right? So what we want most is freedom. But also, as you mentioned, we had everything and we just lost it overnight, right? The day when we received the message, war started, that's the day that became the turning point. So everything else is after that, right? So one day we had, you know, we had apartment, we had our marriage, we had a car, we had friends, we had dreams, we had hopes and everything, right?
Wow.
And then we got this message, war started, and we lost everything in 1 second. But what we still have is our inner values, right? What we believe in, what we still have is, you know, me and my husband, we have each other, and we support each other, and we have our friends. And we actually meet people like Todd and you know, and his relative brother.
Now, I could go on and listen to Mio all day long, but what do you, Dr. Vic, when you hear that, and you teach young people in college, and there's a lot of entitled people in this country, or so
sure.
they think, but when you hear that, what if you were talking to your college kids at Harvard, what would you say?
Oh, look, it's inspirational, Jack. It's exactly what makes America great. It's the reason why so many people want to come here. You know, again, I think I shared this with you on my last time on your show here. My family has a similar story. I mean, my parents were born in what is today Pakistan, and, you know, the Brits drew a line and they lost everything and split over there to India, and then they restarted in the U.S. So I understand it. I live it. I totally appreciate it. And it is inspirational. It does help do exactly what we were saying earlier, which is take that big step back and see the big picture. Weave it pretty good here.
I mean, I don't want to get you in trouble in academia. You know, a PhD from MIT, you taught at Yale, you teach at Harvard, but I'll be candid.
Yep.
I'm a fan of higher education. I love the University of Vermont. I was more on the sports or fraternity side. Very proud. I got invited to the U.S. Army War College National Security Seminar and attended that and finished that. But I look at our highest institutions, and there was just a study out of how much, like, our Ivy League colleges now cost if you don't get aid. Now, I know there's a lot of aid available. I'm not saying that. But I like to pick on Columbia University sometimes because I read stories about how far left their staff and faculty are on the political science and history side. And there was a young woman who, like you and like Miwa, had fled North Korea to South Korea. And then she and her family finally got into this country. And at 27 years old, had worked hard to get into Columbia. She was in New York City and is going to an Ivy League college because she wanted to feel the American dream, wanted a part of the American dream. And the anti-American venom that she was getting from her professors in the classroom about how bad we are, the West, Western civilization. She mentioned a song, a musical song was one of her favorites. And they said, well, the composer, you know, supported this or that and is a bad person because the person's white or the person was privileged. And it was this anti-American indoctrination at an Ivy League college. And she said she eventually just was quiet, didn't say anything anymore because she'd almost get punished and graduated because she wanted to move on with her life. But this anti-American, we don't appreciate. We're the problem. Where does that come from, Dr. Vick?
You know, look, I think part of the problem, Jack, is the institution of tenure in these academic higher ed places. Fundamentally, it prevents people from having to be exposed to market forces. And, you know, there is this explanatory logic of why things are bad, but they're all protected from the market forces, especially those who are tenured. So they have the luxury of saying things that may not have any relevance at times, and even things that might be inflammatory. I'm very disturbed by it. I could never stomach going on the tenure track path because you need to buy into that in lots of institutions, maybe not all, maybe not every department, but it's probably more the norm than not. So I opted instead to sort of, you know, do the live free logic, if you will, in academia, where I'm just a annually appointed lecturer. As long as I teach and students like what I say and they find it stimulating, I get reappointed. That doesn't work. If you want to go on the tenure track path, you need to buy into those above you.
You know, because I remember at University of Vermont, I remember Professor Nelson, Pierre Navratilov, he had a interesting last name, but urban politics. He used to talk about the urbanization, the metro. I had great political science professors, Pietro Navoa. Anyway, and you know, I was like the young Michael J. Fox in the classroom. I was sort of a fiscal conservative, but you could argue and debate with them respectfully, and they loved it.
Yeah.
They didn't speak down to you. If you pointed out something that you didn't agree or you thought that this program was creating too much social giving where it would take away the need to work or means, they didn't just start yelling at you and making you feel stupid. They actually enjoyed the back and forth, and they were very good people. And today, I mean, Representative Dan Crenshaw from Texas, Navy SEAL, he's written a book about it. He says the indoctrination in America started on campuses in about 2012, 2013.
Yeah, it's gotten worse since, I would argue.
Yeah, but, it's too bad.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of explanation.
Because right now, I think we're a pretty damn good country. And well, look, I think we're a pretty good state and a pretty damn good country. And I'm not ashamed to say that.
I agree with you. Look, I mean, we can debate that. Stuff like the border crisis and all these people coming here. But let's stop and think about, why does everyone want to come here?
I know.
Why?
I know.
We're doing something right in the grand scheme of things.
All right. Hey, Dr. Vick, good luck. Corey will post your book and site. And thanks for coming in person and great to meet you in person. And best of luck to you in Lincoln and on the Ivy League campuses of America. Thank you, Dr. Vick.
Thanks, Jack.